Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Friday, October 25th. I'll be having a beautiful Friday today. Great to wrap up the week with you and to be with you every day on this fine radio network. Looking forward to our guests today. It will be, of course, our very own Doug Keck, President and Chief Operating Officer of EWTN, also a fellow Yankees fan. Woohoo! Just saying, I'm sure we'll get to that toward the end of his segment. He joins us every Friday where we talk about the inside word. That means we give you the inside scoop so you know first and foremost, ahead of everybody, what's coming up on this fab network, whether it be something maybe for the weekend, a special movie or special programming, or how we're going to be covering the election with EWTN News Nightly and our other great outlets. Doug is our man, and he will fill us in. That's coming up at 15 minutes past the hour. The bottom of the hour, 28 minutes past the hour, Fact Check Friday, a number of different stories that I'll discuss that are making the news, including giving some credit where credit is due, which I do believe in doing. The New York Times actually publishing a shocking story about a doctor who was involved in this $10 million study regarding the impact of puberty blockers on young people who are, quote-unquote, transitioning, and she suppressed it because, guess what? The results weren't what she wanted. The results showed that the puberty blockers did nothing to help the young people in terms of their situation, what they were going through, and she was afraid it would negatively affect the trans movement, so she suppressed the information. And to their credit, they did publish it, and now other people have picked up that story. So there's some good news there in the fact that the New York Times did actually go against their normally very woke approach to stories, especially those with the trans agenda or an abortion agenda, and put that out there because that's just a very, very important piece of information that we need to know. And then there's some other stories that we'll look at as well. And speaking of fact-checking, that'll lead us right into our friend Patty McGuire Armstrong, who wrote a terrific piece and interviewed, including myself, about the media and how we should respond to this. But she also interviewed an excellent amount of people in the pro-life movement, including medical experts, regarding the misinformation that's going on. Now, if you recall, there was a press conference earlier this week that was fantastic with pro-life doctors who are really going out there and trying to explain the truth about these abortion amendments and how the left is lying to us about what could happen to a woman, God forbid, if she has an ectopic pregnancy or another serious medical condition during a pregnancy, because the left wants us to believe that if these extreme abortion amendments that are up for a vote in less than 2 weeks, if they don't pass, then women are going to be in serious trouble health-wise, and that's not true because every state allows for emergency care in these situations. So we'll talk with Patty about that messaging, and that'll wrap us up on a Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection, asking for your prayers for Ave Maria Radio. We are wrapping up our fall drive today, so if you want to check things out, you can go to AveMariaRadio.net. And also asking for prayers for our 50 pilgrims that are joining me and Deacon Dom and Father Frankie Cicero. Father Frankie is a wonderful priest who is from the Diocese of Phoenix, very, very popular on YouTube, an amazing homilist, and will be leading 50 beautiful brothers and sisters throughout southern Italy, coast to coast, starting on the Sorrento coast and heading over to Apulia, the heel. And I'll be walking and talking with you along the week, and we'll be sharing with you some of the things that we're doing. And that starts on Sunday and goes through actually next Sunday. So we'll talk all about it as we tune into, if you tune into Catholic Connection. So just pray for our pilgrims that everybody gets to Italy safely and that the pilgrimage goes smoothly and that they grow in their faith through the experience of walking in the footsteps of so many great saints. Let's take a look at the weather on a Friday morning. We have elevated to locally critical fire weather conditions continuing across portions of the southern New England area and the mid-Atlantic today. Record heat expected in the southern plains into portions of the southeast into the weekend. Tropical depression Kongri has developed near Guam and the northern Mariana Islands, and so they're also watching that overseas as well. It is a Friday morning, October 25th. It is 4 minutes past the hour, and yes, as you guessed it, it is time to check the news on a Friday. A judge in Ohio says the state's six-week abortion ban is unconstitutional. That ruling came yesterday from Hamilton County Judge Christian Jenkins, granting a permanent injunction on Ohio's heartbeat bill until voters have spoken. The bill was signed into law in April of 2019, but did not take effect until June of 2022, when the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Now, nearly a year after Ohio voters passed Issue 1, the Ohio Constitution unequivocally protects, she says, a right to an abortion. Voters, meanwhile, in 10 states, as Catholic News Agency explains on their website this morning, will have the opportunity on November 5th to change their state's laws on abortion. And Catholic leaders, as CNA tells us, are strongly urging all citizens to vote to protect life. Several of the state ballot proposals in front of voters threaten current pro-life protections, especially a number of proposed constitutional amendments to expand abortion. At the same time, in other states that do little to protect unborn children, proposed measures would make abortion even more widely accessible than it is already. Scott Pringle tells us the former CEO of Abercrombie and Fitch and two associates are expected to be arraigned in court this afternoon on Long Island on federal sex trafficking charges.
Prosecutors accuse Michael Jeffries and two of his associates of using their money, power, and influence to prey on young aspiring male models for their own sexual gratification. Prosecutors allege for years they held sex events all over the world, including in New York City and in the Hamptons. Well, the indictment says there are 15 alleged victims, but investigators believe there are dozens more and are asking them to come forward. Jeffries is expected to enter a plea at the arraignment in Central Islip Federal Court.
A book signing with former U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi at a church on the Harvard University campus was disrupted by protesters demanding an end to Israel's war with Gaza. Pelosi sat down with the governor at the First Parish Church at Harvard Wednesday. There were dozens of protesters outside the venue, and twice they disrupted activities inside the event. The rest of the event featured Pelosi talking in detail about her new book and her decades in politics. And Mark Mayfield tells us, meanwhile, the U.S. is putting up $135 million in new humanitarian assistance for Palestinians.
That's according to Secretary of State Antony Blinken. The aid will help provide clean water and maternal health resources for Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Blinken also said American negotiators will meet with their Israeli and Qatari counterparts to revive ceasefire talks. He made the announcement alongside Qatari officials who have been one of the main liaisons in negotiations with Hamas.
A new report calling online gambling a threat to public health and recommends stricter regulation. The medical journal The Lancet publishing the report by a 22-member public health commission on gambling. That commission estimating more than 70 million people around the world take part in online gambling, and the 24/7 access can prove harmful. The report notes it isn't just people with gambling disorders who are at risk. While suffering money losses is an obvious effect, the report says online gambling can also lead to job loss, domestic violence, and even suicidal tendencies. A spokesperson for FanDuel says online gambling companies protect consumers. On the campaign trail, Jacqueline Carr tells us former President Donald Trump will be at Madison Square Garden for a big rally.
It will be Trump's second rally in New York City after his Bronx rally in May. The doors open at the Garden at noon, and the rally starts at 5 p.m. Traffic is expected to be snarled on 7th and 8th Avenues near 34th Street. A Republican hasn't won in New York since former President Ronald Reagan in 1984.
Elon Musk, he has given more than $100 million to his super PAC over the last 4 months. He contributed $44 million to his America PAC group in the first half of this month, according to Federal Election Commission filings. The Tesla CEO also gave around $75 million to America PAC from July through September. And he's also contributing to other conservative super PACs, as the Sentinel Action Fund reports just over $2 million in contributions from Musk. This in addition to his recent promotion of paying $1 million per day to a random individual who signs his petition supporting the U.S. Constitution. Karen Curtis tells us Florida is filing a lawsuit against the Department of Justice. This after the state was ordered to stop its investigation into September's attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump.
Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody filing a complaint against Attorney General Merrick Garland after the DOJ told the state to pause its probe until a federal investigation was completed. According to the suit, Florida has a right to investigate violations of state law, and any delay could impact the outcome of any prosecution. Ryan Ruth was arrested in September after Secret Service say they found him with a firearm at Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach.
The United Nations says Ukraine's population is down 8 million people since Russia launched its full-scale invasion back in 2022. The UN estimates Ukraine's population at 35 million right now, compared to 43 million before Russia's 2022 invasion and 45 million before Russia occupied Crimea in 2014. Most of the population decline, they say, is attributed to the nearly 7 million refugees who have fled the country. Other factors are war casualties and a lower-than-normal fertility rate. The war is less than a month away from reaching its 1,000th day. And the Chancellor of Great Britain says the UK will not be paying out reparations to the transatlantic slave trade. King Charles III touched on the issue at a summit of Commonwealth nations.
I understand from listening to people across the Commonwealth how the most painful aspects of our past continue to resonate. None of us can change the past, but we can commit with all our hearts to learning its lessons.
Chancellor Rachel Reeves making the comments yesterday after the BBC said that heads of government across the Commonwealth are preparing to have a meaningful conversation about reparations. Reeves said, "We're not going to be paying out the reparations that some countries are speaking about," adding, "I understand why they make those demands, but that's not something this government is doing." The Boeing Machinist Union is rejecting the latest labor deal from the company. Joe Buscino with Spirit Aerosystems, producing fuselage sections to Boeing's aircraft, says a no vote means job losses could be coming.
Should the strike continue beyond November 25th, financial pressures and a significant inventory buffer will force additional measures for us, more drastic furloughs certainly, and layoffs of our teammates.
Buscino says Spirit is already moving forward with a furlough of around 700 Spirit employees. On Wednesday, 64% of the machinists voted against the deal, which included a 35% wage increase over the next 4 years, higher 401k contributions, guaranteed payouts in a bonus program, and a higher signing bonus. The aerospace giant reached a tentative deal with the striking workers this past weekend. Over 30,000 machinists walked off the job over a month ago. A California company is linked to the nationwide E. coli outbreak. Taylor Farm supplies onions for McDonald's, where 49 people in 10 states have gotten sick after eating quarter pounders. The FDA and CDC think slivered onions could be to blame. The grower says tests of raw or finished onions show no contamination, but they still issued a recall of four products this week and told restaurants to stop using them. And Tammy Trujillo says after more than 200 days in space, four astronauts are back on planet Earth.
They spent that time on the International Space Station.
Again, we do have visual confirmation of Crew 8 successfully splashing down after 235 days in space. They are now back on Earth. Dragon Endeavour has returned home.
Three Americans and one Russian were scheduled to return over 2 weeks ago, but had to wait out weather delays caused by Hurricane Milton. The returning astronauts include NASA's Matthew Dominick, Michael Barrett, and Jeanette Epps. The SpaceX Dragon capsule splashed down early this morning off the coast of Florida.
And finally, in our news segment at almost 14 minutes past the hour on October 25th, it's getting just a little bit less costly. Of course, it's no bargain, though, to go to the World Series. As of late last night, the cheapest ticket prices for tonight's Game 1 between the Dodgers and the Yanks, well, they're about $850. That's to sit in the top deck or far corners of the reserve level at Dodger Stadium. Earlier this week, the cheapest ticket, according to online resale sites, was more than $1,200. And the cheapest tickets for Saturday's Game 2, $900. We'll be right back on a Friday to let you know about the great programming on EWTN that's coming up. Doug Keck is in the house. Stay tuned. Catholic Connection is sponsored by House of Joppa. House of Joppa's mission is to share the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith in our homes through Catholic home decor, art, candles, statues, rosaries, and Catholic jewelry. They're gifts designed to help you live out your Catholic faith. For more information, go to houseofjoppa.com. That's houseofjoppa, J-O-P-P-A.com.
More of Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Always great to catch up with Doug Keck, President and Chief Operating Officer of the network, that being this network, the one and only EWTN, getting closer to election. And, of course, I'm following all the great resources and saw some lovely pictures of the team that's going to be working the election. And I'm sure it's going to be a busy time for you all in Birmingham. Good morning. Great to talk to you again.
Right, absolutely. Obviously, between the election going on in the states and our team coverage of the Senate as it winds down, with our coverage today and tomorrow, as we wind down our synod on synodality. And also today, something really important. Live from Our Lady of the Angels Chapel in Irondale, we're going to be having a holy hour of reparation this afternoon at 3 o'clock. And that's in response, and I'm sure you know about that satanic mass that's scheduled in Atlanta.
Yes.
And other satanic activity happening in Toulouse, France. So our guys are responding with the best weapons we have. So you may want to check out that holy hour. And again, we've got the Synod on Synodality. We've got that closing mass as well happening on Sunday. Don't forget a wonderful program that's always good, especially at this time of year, A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing, the original one on Saul Alinsky, incredibly popular, 8 p.m. on Saturday night. Check that out. Also, again, the friars will be mounting the defense of the church and of our faith with a novena to the Mother of God for the nation, beginning on Sunday, running through November 4th, right after each morning mass. You'll be able to join the friars as they pray, and we all get together and pray to Our Lady from our chapel for the nation, that the right things happen over the next couple of weeks. So that leads up right to the election. We also, somebody else who we could always resort to is St. Jude, my favorite saint. We have a fine program on Monday called Hidden Gems, Catholic Shrines in America. They visit the National Shrine of St. Jude, which is actually in Chicago. So you can check that out. That's happening on Monday at 11:30 a.m. Eastern. Also next week, we have a program on the Inquisition, not on what the phony baloney stylizations of the Inquisition are supposed to be, but actually what it was and what it did and what it wasn't. All week long, next week, you can check that out. And also Father Chris Alar, Living Divine Mercy, next Wednesday, and explains the church teachings about voting and about religious freedom and the sanctity of marriage. And those are a couple of things, as you well know, as you go to EW10.com to get all the programming and on demand, is the fact that when we're voting, we aren't one-issue voters, because it's not just about abortion. When we talk about life, we're talking about religious freedom, the ability for us as Christians and Catholics to live out our faith. And as one of the candidates indicated, they don't believe in religious exemptions when it comes to things like forcing people to do abortions. So that means Catholic hospitals and Catholic organizations like EWTN or Ave Maria would have to pay for these things, would have to include them in their health care plans. You're also dealing with transgenderism, as you know. Recently, another story came out. We've been following it, obviously, as you have, on Father Spitzer over the last couple of years, what's going on in the UK and those places where they've woken up and realized these transgender approaches are not working. Well, it just turns out, as you know, that one of the leading proponents of it here in the United States was hiding a study that showed there were big problems with this, but didn't tell anybody because they're afraid it would, quote-unquote, hurt the movement. So we really have to be aware. That's why you need EWTN and Ave Maria and our news and our other programs that bring you up to speed and understand what the church's teaching are and what the real issues are out there that, again, that are greater than just this phony baloney, oh, you're a one-issue person. Well, first of all, life encompasses everything. It's kind of like the Catholic Church. All of the Christian churches subsist under the banner of the Catholic Church in one way or the other. It's just like when someone says somebody's saved. Ultimately, whatever you are, you're saved through Jesus Christ.
Well, the thing is, person, that bothers me so much, because the left can push abortion, all things abortion, all things abortion. That's all they seem to be talking about in their ads. And I had Rob Muse in the American Freedom Law Center, Doug, on the show with me the first hour for our drive that we're having this week, and he was talking about the fact that it's everywhere. That's all they talk about on the left, is they push abortion, abortion, abortion. Then they turn around and accuse us of being, you know, one issue.
Absolutely, abortion, that's perfectly said. It is, because that's the only issue that they have, that they think that they can drive people on through the fear of some idea that somehow for the people who want this, there won't be any way to have it. I mean, on the other side, they come out with studies that say, well, there's more abortions happening now than there was before Roe v. Wade. So that's horrible from our perspective. But then on the other side, you say, well, then what's the big deal? What are you getting all wound up about if there's more abortions now than ever?
Yeah, and I think that as voters, Father Mitch was talking about yesterday the importance of really doing, well, first of all, praying about this, but really doing our homework and not getting swayed. And I'm going to be talking about this with Patty Armstrong, wrote a terrific piece on this for the Register just recently. Not getting swayed by our emotion and things that we see in the media. I mean, those two are definitely tied together. And thinking that we can just ignore what's going on, and that because we don't like whether it's the people at the top or the people at the Senate races or at the local races, we have to put on our big boy pants and our big girl pants and really think about this, right? The long term and the fallout, right?
Right. It's like being in a diocese where you know, for some particular reason you don't particularly like the bishop, and you know he isn't your style or the way you want it to be. What matters is you're a Catholic and there's a belief system that you have to support. And it's the same idea. What you have to do is find the party or the candidate to support the things that you, as a Catholic and as a Christian, support, regardless of the fact that this person may or may not be the person who you'd want to have dinner with, you know, that kind of a thing. And you have to look at that and realize, as we've said so much, it ripples out into the Justice Department, ripples out into all the regulation, all the things that are out there, all come out of who is running the country and whether you'll have a seat at the table. You may not be happy with everything. You may think, I wish, in this case, Donald Trump was better on these particular issues. But then you have Kamala Harris coming out and saying, well, there's no restrictions on abortion. And the reality is there's no religious exemption she'd be in favor of. Trump at least indicated in the IVF in his interview that Raymond did with him that he would certainly be open to looking at a religious exemption for that if that was an issue for Catholics, which it obviously is, but it's certainly not the issue that, you know, that you're dealing with when you're talking about abortion.
Mm-hmm. And I also think it's important. There was an interview that an exorcist, can't remember the priest's name, but it was an excellent clip, and he's an exorcist, and he was talking about the idea of lesser of two evils. Is we do have to look at that. And some people are trying to say, well, I don't have to do that. God doesn't expect me to be lesser of two evils. Well, yeah, the church teaches, and it goes all the way back, you know, actually centuries. And there was a great article that I found that I sent this one listener of ours, and it was from the National Catholic Register. It was 2012 that reiterated what this priest said, that it's extremely important to look at these issues, as you just explained, and say, okay, who's going to do less harm? And if we don't look at that, right, then we can actually be responsible for the sin. We could be held responsible for the sin of negligence because we're allowing this other person, whomever it may be, to take over, who's going to do more damage.
Absolutely. And when it comes to if you've got an amendment like in Florida or other states who have those kind of things, you're voting directly for or against abortion. So you need to understand that. You're not voting for somebody who might decide that. You're voting for or against it. So you have to think about it in that particular way. So, you know, that's even more of a direct impact.
Mm. Doug, thank you so much for all of this and for reminding us of all the great resources that we have at EWTN. Doug Keck is our president and chief operating officer of EWTN. And again, everything that we discussed in terms of what's coming up in programming and the different resources we have can be found at our overall website at EWTN.com. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to go to our Fact Check Friday. And I am going to be talking about several things that Doug mentioned, picking up on that discussion. I'm going to be talking about the story he mentioned about this doctor who was involved in this study regarding puberty blockers and young teens who are going through, quote-unquote, a transition, trying to transition. We know that's not possible, but that's how they referred to it. They suppressed this study because this doctor, as Doug mentioned, did not want to get the information out there because she knew that it could impact negatively the extreme transgender agenda. Then we'll also look at some other stories as well, really important for Fact Check Friday. And then Penny Armstrong from the National Catholic Register will be joining us a little bit later on, right after Fact Check Friday. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Catholic Connection. It is about 29 minutes past the hour. Fact Check Friday. We do this every Friday to take a look at stories in the news. And as I mentioned earlier, I did want to give credit to the New York Times for publishing this very alarming story about a doctor who was involved in a $10 million study. And the study is from the money for the study came from us, taxpayers. And it didn't have the results she wanted because she was testing teens, kids, basically, with puberty blockers. These were kids who were apparently trying to do a so-called transition, and she was hoping for positive results, but the use of the puberty blockers didn't help their situation, actually made the situation worse. I don't have time to go into all the details play, so that is a good thing. But how many other stories out there are like this in terms of us not getting from the so-called legacy media? Really important to make sure that we have that information so we can make educated decisions. Now, another huge issue, as Doug was alluding to, is pro-life. There was an amazing friend, Lewis Brown from Christ and Medicus Foundation, was there along with a number of amazing doctors from across the country who are really upset with the situation in terms of the lack of information out there about women and emergency situations in pregnancy. So I want to play a clip from Christina Francis, and we'll share this with you. Listen to what she has to say about the truth of this situation.
In fact, the way abortions are delivered in this country contributes to worsening maternal outcomes. Because of the FDA's reckless actions in 2021, high-risk abortion drugs can now be ordered online and shipped in the mail to any state in the country. This negligent process leaves women without adequate screening for things like accurate gestational age, ectopic pregnancy, or coercion before they take these drugs, preventing any chance at truly informed consent. It also destroys any physician-patient relationship, as women are left with an invisible and inaccessible provider if they experience complications or for any kind of follow-up care. Drug-induced abortions now account for the majority of abortions in the U.S., despite having a higher complication rate than surgical abortions. The women I have cared for who experienced complications like heavy bleeding, infection, and retained tissue deserved better, and they deserved to know about these risks. Women and physicians across this country also need to know that every state in the country allows physicians like me to intervene immediately to treat miscarriage, ectopic pregnancy, post-abortion complications, and other potentially life-threatening pregnancy complications at any point in pregnancy.
And as we mentioned, Lewis Brown from the Christ Medicus Foundation was also at that conference. He appeared on Catholic Connection on Tuesday before the media event, and he also outlined a great deal of the misinformation that is being put out there through the secular media and pro-abortion politicians and groups such as Planned Parenthood. Take a listen.
The abortion industry and pro-abortion politicians are attempting to deceive the American people by wrongly conflating abortion procedures with miscarriage, and other pregnancy challenges. In truth, pro-life medical professionals and health entities successfully care for hundreds of thousands of pregnant moms annually in the face of challenging circumstances without ever having to intentionally kill an unborn child. Second, the abortion industry is gaslighting the American people about what truly endangers pregnant mothers. In truth, every single state pro-life law permits medical professionals to care for pregnant mothers while also seeking to protect preborn children.
So there you have it. Those are that's the other side of the story that often doesn't get out there, and especially it's another side that we have to hear in this extremely, extremely contentious election. So I really just want to put out a challenge for you in terms of where are you getting your information and how are you filtering that information? Are you looking at everything through the lens of Scripture and the teachings of the Catholic Church? Or are you allowing, which is very easy to do, I know, I get it, because things can be very, very upsetting, allowing your emotions control your decision making? And looking at what the church says about all of these different issues. There's so much information that the church provides us. And again, we've got all these great resources that Doug Keck mentioned earlier, and Raymond Arroyo did a great interview last week with candidate Donald Trump from the Republican Party. There are resources all over our website, National Catholic Register, that have detailed stories quoting church teaching regarding this voting process. We just can't sit there and say, well, it's not going to be bad that, or well, we have the First Amendment, or well, we'll be fine, this, that, or the other thing. When we vote, we have to look at everything, starting with the most important issue, and that is the issue of life. Then we have to realize that even though once in a while there's a story that does get out there, as I mentioned, I believe in giving credit where credit is due, such as that story in the New York Times that did get published about the transgender study and the puberty blockers, 99.9% of the time, that doesn't happen. And so many times during our fall drive, our winter drive, when we're on raising money for our different affiliates, including the one for which I work in conjunction with EWTN, Ave Maria Radio, we have people calling in and saying, if we didn't have this outlet, if we didn't have EWTN, Ave Maria Radio, all of our different affiliates, they would never know about these particular stories. So again, this is the reason we do Fact Check Friday. This is the reason we put this information out there. And Patty McGuire Armstrong, who is with the National Catholic Register, did a terrific piece in taking a much closer look at the misinformation campaign and how pro-lifers need to respond. And that includes every single one of us. And she asked me my opinion in terms of how we're supposed to be filtering all of this so we can get at the truth. So hopefully, I know we're having a little bit of a technical issue with the internet this morning. We're trying to work through that. And hopefully we can hear from Patty McGuire Armstrong, who again did a terrific article helping us, you know, go through all of this so we can make an educated decision based on the truth of who we are in our Catholic faith made in the image and likeness of God. It is a Friday morning. It is almost 36 minutes past the hour. You are listening to Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. And we'll be right back on a Friday morning, October 25th. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the best of Catholic Connection with Teresa Thomas.
Continuing our discussion on the saints with my dear friend and fellow journalist and talk show host and author, Patty McGuire Armstrong. You can find her great work in a number of places, including the National Catholic Register. Boy, Patty, the headline and, you know, and the title of the article just hits the nail right on the head, because, my goodness, October is indeed a blockbuster month for the saints. And Patty's article in the Register was just posted on October 1st. My goodness, there's so many amazing saints in October. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Teresa. Yeah, October, you know, this article has been years in the making, because every October I think, wow, this saint and now this one, and like, what a month. And I thought this year I'm going to put it all down so we can have it in front of us with just a real brief summary. And it was hard because there's so many of them and the article was so long, even with very brief summaries, because what a power-packed month October is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to go, I'll go through the list quickly, but then we can talk a little bit more about, you know, we were discussing this during the break about the importance of having a relationship with the saints. Of course, St. Therese on the 1st, the Guardian Angels on the 2nd, St. Theodore on the 3rd, Let's see, we go down. We see, of course, St. Francis today. Tomorrow we have St. Faustina, Our Lady of the Rosary on Monday, and then Blessed Carlo Acutis, another one of my faves. And then my absolute favorite, as you know, we've talked about this, St. Teresa of Avila on the 15th, St. Ignatius of Antioch, oh my goodness, St. Luke, St. Isaac Joseph. It goes on and on. Pope St. John the 23rd, you've got John Paul II. This is a crazy, wonderful month, right?
It is, and you know, three of my children are named from three of these saints, three of the ten. So it really is. I thought, I got to do something about this. October is so amazing. I want to just really celebrate it.
Why do you think, and I know this, I have changed my attitude totally since coming back to the church. I always knew about the saints growing up in the faith, and the images were very popular, especially in Italian-American households, but I really didn't have a relationship with them until I started studying their lives and I came back to the church. And we're missing so much when we don't call on the saints.
We really do. And I don't know what it is. I think as little kids, I fell in love with St. Therese of Lisieux, and so she's my confirmation saint. So we both have St. Therese and St. Teresa that are special to us. But I don't know. You just, if you fall away from the church and you get into the world, the saints don't seem relevant. And sometimes when you come back to the church, you don't stop and think, hey, we have our brothers and sisters in heaven. We can be in a relationship with them. They can help us get to heaven, and they were ordinary people here on earth. And then you add to that the fact that other religions don't really pay attention to the saints, even say, hey, you shouldn't even be talking to them. What are you doing? And so we kind of put them by the wayside and not realize that this is such a fullness of our faith, that we're a whole family, and that they can actually help us get to heaven and inspire us. You cannot read a life of the saints, pick anyone, you cannot read their life and not be changed and uplifted by their their lives.
Right. I think for me, what encourages me the most is, we talk about this because you and I are on an email chain and we chat back and forth about the culture a lot, and we have a great interest in what happens in the culture. But if you look at the lives of the saints, much of what we're dealing with now, only though it manifests itself differently, but it's, as it says in Ecclesiastes, there's really nothing new under the sun. We can look at their lives and see, wow, they dealt with this. They dealt with politics. They dealt with persecution. They dealt with problems in the family. They're all relatable if we take the time to get to know them.
They really are, and I think that's another reason why we can disregard them, is, oh, that was a different time. But if anything, it was a harder time. Like, if we want inspiration, and then I love that we have the more modern saints, like you mentioned, Blessed Carlos Acutis, who died at 15 years of age, and I love the photos of him. He's just kind of his hair is a little tousled. He's got blue jeans on. He's just a kid, and yet he was a saint because he loved the church, and he offered up all his suffering for the Lord, the Pope, and the church, and that's us. He lived and suffered for us.
How did you decide what to include in the short summaries? Because each one you could do, I don't know, 20 articles and still not exhaust all the information on them.
I wanted to put down the most powerful reasons that we look to them. For instance, okay, St. Ignatius of Antioch. Well, what does he have to teach us? He lived, they think he's born in around the year 50. And he was martyred. It used to be the saints were the ones that were martyred, and then it was the church developed a process later on for determining the different levels of, you know, beatification, Sermon of God, beatification, and canonization. So what does somebody who was born in the year 50 and was martyred in Rome around the year 108? Well, he was a disciple of St. John the Evangelist. He became a bishop, and he wrote 7 letters defending the church against heresies that are still relevant today. He's the one who first used the term Catholic to mean universal. If that's not as relevant today as it was back then, as a matter of fact, it's even more relevant because in the year 2024, where people have all these different versions of Christianity, not that they don't have some of the truth and they, can be an inspiration to us in other ways when they love Jesus, but we have the fullness, and we can look back to St. Ignatius of Antioch and say, see, the church we are, the church that we look to, that we belong to, has all those elements back in the very beginning.
And then St. Luke on the 18th, of course, the author of the Gospel of Luke, as well as Acts and Acts of the Apostles. We think he was a doctor. We know he was a disciple of St. Paul and a martyr. But again, St. Luke, who gave us so much in terms of understanding the physical life of Jesus.
And gave us so much of the New Testament. You know, the Gospel of Luke is believed to be written by him and the Acts of the Apostles. And then the very next day, I have an Isaac in seminary right now. My youngest son. He's in the seminary. And I fell in love with St. Isaac Jogues because I would read the lives of the saints to the kids. So if you have children, whether they're going to become your heroes or you have children and you want to read the lives of the saints, I became mesmerized by his story. And this is how I learned a lot of new saints this way, is he was born in France. He became a Jesuit missionary in Canada. And his first 6 years were spent with the Huron Native Americans. And a lot of them became converted and became Catholic. And then he was expanding, and the warring Iroquois captured him. And his companions, René Goupil, probably not pronouncing his name correctly, and a group of Huron converts, and they were, when you read about how they were tortured, and I read this in the children's book, and my kids, especially the boys, were mesmerized. You know, I won't get graphic about it, but the book kind of did a little bit, and we were mesmerized by the tortures. Now, that's bad enough, but he became a slave, and he escaped. So if I escaped from that, I don't think I would turn, or I wouldn't look back. But he got back to France, and his hands were mutilated, so he lost some of his fingers, and he asked for permission to go back.
Go back.
So
I
he
know.
Went.
Yeah.
He went back. That's why he's such a big hero of mine, just like St. Patrick, who I'm named for. So St. Patrick and St. Isaac Jogues. To return to where you were held slave and captive and tortured and become a missionary to them. And so many of the Mohawks, they were converted. Now he ended up, because sickness broke out, some of the Mohawks accused him of practicing witchcraft. And somebody, he was killed by a tomahawk to the head. But the very person who killed him became converted. And so you know the blood of the martyrs are the seeds
of the fruit
of
the church.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so that's why he's... That's why I named our son Isaac after him, and he's in the seminary now at the Kenrick Glennon Seminary in St. Louis.
Wow. We're talking with author, speaker, writer, talk show host Patty Armstrong about her latest beautiful article in National Catholic Register all about the Saints of October. It's a blockbuster month. Okay, let's talk about Miguel. You know how much I love St. Teresa of Avila. I mean, I really have to give you a lot of credit for being able to summarize her up in like four sentences in this article.
Well, one of the things I want to say about saints like Saint Teresa of Avila, her writings are still in print today. Now, this is a woman who lived from 1515 to 1582. So, you know, Teresa, you and I are authors. If our books are still in print, you know, a decade later, we're pretty happy about that.
Yeah, really.
So, The Way of Perfection, The Interior Castle, is still in print. You can go to bookstores. You can go order them online. So they... This is what is so amazing about the saints and why we should develop relationships with them, is that she has impacted untold numbers to deeper spirituality. You know, I don't know, millions and millions, a billion. How many people has her life impacted, even though she lived in the 1500s? So she is like so, I think that's part of the supernatural amazingness of the saint. Is not only did they impact the world in which they lived, the time in which they lived, but they are still creating the ripple effect of their lives of holiness are still spreading today.
Yeah. She founded 16, as you say, 16 monasteries of women, and I love the fact you talked briefly about the long journeys by donkey. If you go to Avila, I've been to Avila, and you can go and you can see some of the, I don't know how to call it, the equipment that she had with her. And you look at it and you say, how did you even go a mile? You know, riding on a donkey, which I've done before, which is extremely uncomfortable. Camel's worse, but donkey's not much better, let me tell you. And just the conditions and you know, what she put up with and then all the persecution. And, oh, my goodness, it's amazing to look at these people's lives.
And she had frequent illness. Yeah, when you think about the conditions, and we often forget that. So if you're going to look back in time and look at some of the saints, realize, I mean, now on one hand, we can be like, whoa, I'm not that strong. Well, yeah, we don't know how strong we are until we align ourselves with God. Because these are people who, and she was a woman during that time, traveling on a donkey with not the greatest health, And what she was able to accomplish wasn't because of her. It wasn't a reflection on her. It was a reflection of her trusting in God and going where he led.
Patty, this is great, but I want to give you time because I know you have a retreat you're doing on the saints, and we will put a link to this beautiful article on the National Catholic Register that Patty just recently wrote. Should still be up there, by the way, but just in case, the headline is October is a blockbuster month for the saints. Blessed be God and his angels and saints. You'll find this on the Register, but we will put a link to it on our archives at Catholic Connection on AveMariaRadio.net. So you're giving a retreat, and you're going to be talking about the saints, correct?
Yeah, saints as in terms of spiritual warfare. Like, we don't have to fight this alone. They've already fought the battle. And it's going to be at Maryvale. If you go to MaryvaleND.org, it's in beautiful Valley City right outside of Fargo. And I'm going to be leading it with Roxanne Solonen, who's a co-author of mine, also a radio host for Real Presence Radio.
I love her. Tell her I said hi. I haven't talked to her in a while. She's great.
She was so excited to meet you just recently, like a year or so ago. At one of the wine retreats. So
yeah, we were at the wine retreat. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, she's a huge fan of yours. And so we were inspired to journey with the saints, and we're going to be introducing a lot of them, and some that did spiritual warfare head to head and were courageous, but to realize the saints have already won the battle.
Yeah,
they're already in heaven, and they did the battle, and we do battle every day. So I've done a couple other articles with, I interviewed two of the bishops, our two bishops in North Dakota, who talked about that it's no exaggeration to say that we can tap into the saints to do spiritual battle, not just their example, but by their prayers, that they love to pray for us, that they already are in heaven with God, and they would love to help us get to heaven with them. And the spiritual battle that we do is every day, it's temptation. It's some of us feel like maybe it's a little harder. You know, Teresa, you and I, once we turned over our lives, you know, I was writing for the secular world, and I didn't think it would be very interesting to write in Catholic religious stuff. I bet you thought the same thing, like, oh, that sounds kind of boring. But then now we are just the opposite, like, wow, there could be nothing more exciting. And to call in the troops, we are a veritable spiritual army, an army of Catholics. Yeah, and that we don't have to go it alone. We have a whole army of angels and saints and the Blessed Mother that are doing battle with us. We don't have to do it alone.
Onward, Christian soldiers, and there's over 10,000 Catholic saints, believe it or not. Quite the army for us, amazing men and women. Patty, all the best for your retreat. Thank you for all the great work you do for the Register. And again, I want to remind folks, Patty's article was recently posted, her recent article, of course, this crazy, amazing month of October. And the headline is, October is a blockbuster month for saints. Blessed be God and his angels and his saints. And she did a great job of summarizing the life of these amazing saints during the month of October, including, of course, St. Therese of Lisieux, a doctor of the church, the guardian angels, St. Teresa of Avila, another doctor of the church, St. Francis of Assisi, whose feast day we celebrate today. I mean, it's great because you can go through this article and look at all these saints and then maybe look up something, as I mentioned earlier, about St. Francis to find more about their lives. We'll be right back. Let you know it's coming up on a Monday. Stay tuned.
How would you like to celebrate the Divine Mercy at the Shrine of the Divine Mercy in Poland on Divine Mercy Sunday? Well, you can. Steve Ray here, inviting you to join us in Poland as we follow the footprints of John Paul II, Maria Faustina, and Maximilian Kolbe. Daily Mass at the most iconic, beautiful churches and delicious local foods. Join us in April for Divine Mercy Sunday in Poland.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
Catholic Connection is sponsored by House of Joppa. House of Joppa's mission is to share the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith in our homes through Catholic home decor, art, candles, statues, rosaries, and Catholic jewelry. They're gifts designed to help you live out your Catholic faith. For more information, go to houseofjoppa.com. That's houseofjoppa, JOPPA.com.
More of Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Isn't it awesome that we today do not recognize his presence in the Eucharist? Is it because we really don't go to him in humbleness of heart and say, Lord, I don't believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to see you. I want to recognize you. I cannot live without you. Are we saying that?
EWTN, live truth,
Live Catholic.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Connection. Of course, it's a co-production of Ave Maria Radio out of Ann Arbor, Michigan, and EWTN out of Irondale, Alabama. Find us both online, AveMariaRadio.net and EWTN.com. Great to be with you on a Friday on this beautiful feast day of St. Francis of Assisi. And check out Patty's great article, because it gives you an outline of all the different saints that we're celebrating this month and on whom we can call for their intercession. Have a great weekend. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.